Thank you, Lord Abba, Sararaba, Shedekamba, Sakarabo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless your name, oh God. I give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, precious Savior God. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to know you, mighty God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you again, and I thank God for an opportunity to come to you, I mean, with the Word of God. My name is Dr. Emmanuel Sommer, and this channel is called Spirit and Life, and you're welcome to share, to subscribe, and also to, you know, to interact with the Word of God. And always feel free to comment in your comments, ask any questions, give any reflections, and where things are not clear, feel free to communicate, such that we are able to maybe clarify as God helps us. And I pray that God will give us more grace as we carry on in our study. So today we're in the book of Acts chapter 14, and we're going to see Paul and Barnabas. Remember, they're on the first missionary journey, of which they were sent by the disciples, sent by the church in Antioch. Remember, at this point, the church was based in Antioch of Syria, but there are two Antiochs. So there's an Antioch of Syria, but then they were based in the Antioch of Syria. And so they have just come, you know, they went through the previous city that they just went through. So when they turned to the Gentiles, and remember yesterday we looked at that, where they spoke to the Gentiles, they had this wonderful speech that they gave in Antioch of Syria, and well, the guys didn't accept it. And they said, well, God has made us a light to the Gentiles, and we've washed off the dust off our feet, and we're moving. So now they move into Iconium, and in this place, Iconium, there were three cities that were near each other. That was Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and these were, you could consider it in the southern area of Galatia, of the district of Galatia. So that tells you that when we read this chapter, we are seeing the ministry of Paul to the Galatian church, or rather how he formed the Galatian church. And so we'll be able to see what happened in how his ministry in Galatia, and then eventually they go back to Antioch of Syria, because what we see is that they were sent, they did their mission, they went through these cities, they went to Pamphos, they went through Cyrus, you know, then they came now to the region of Galatia, and then Antioch of Syria, Galatia, and then they go back in the same route. And when they go back, they are going to strengthen the churches by forming leaders, because by this point they had already established some leaders, so they are able to appoint elders, and when elders are appointed, then the church planting is completed. So we're going to read from Acts 14, and the Bible says the same thing happened in Iconium. And what is this same thing? Persecution. They preached the word of God and they were persecuted. And so this becomes a common pattern of the preaching of the word of God. It comes with great power, great demonstration, but also persecution follows it. Why? Because people are envious, people resist the gospel, and many people, when the gospel points out their sin, it makes them wary of what they are, of who they are, and when that happens, they don't really take it easy. But then the Bible says the same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers, and Gentiles became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the mind of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding area, and there they preached the good news. Just to quickly look at this town. So Iconium was a town, one of the towns in south of Galatia. And the Bible says they started preaching. They preached the word of God. They preached concerning the grace of the Lord, the message of grace, the grace of the Lord, that God has shown his mercy for people, that if we repent of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And the Bible says that God proved that their word was true by confirming it with signs and wonders. Now, despite the confirmation, the people were divided. Some people were like, no, we side with the Jews. Others sided with the apostles. And it's interesting how they are called apostles. Why? Because the apostle is a word which means sent. I know there are people, yes, who will argue that the apostles can only be the 12. But here we see Paul and Barabbas, the scripture is calling them the apostles. So even Barnabas is an apostle and Paul is an apostle. So we have the apostles of the Lamb, but then we also have the apostles that are sent, the gifts of God to the church. And that you can see in Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says that it was he that gave some to be apostle. When, you know, when he ascended, the ascension gifts, when he ascended, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, some to be teachers for the equipping of the body, for the building of the body towards the work of the gospel. And then, so what did they do? The Jews and the Gentiles, verse 5, along with their leaders, decided, they plotted. But you see, God was merciful. He made them to be aware of it, and they went to the nearby towns. They took off. They fled to the region of Lycaonia, and here they reached two towns, which are Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding area. And the Bible says they preached the good news. So we can see there was so much boldness in the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. God confirmed it with signs and wonders, and yes, they were a remnant that received the message. So many times when we preach to people, remember yesterday we saw that those who are ordained for eternal life, those who are chosen for eternal life, received it. So they will preach the message, but then there are those who God has called to eternal life, and they will receive it. But others might reject it, but you see the judgment stands firm. They had the word, but they chose not to receive it. And for that, the Bible says, you're not guilty of their blood. But our job is to share the gospel. How someone receives it, it is the person to decide. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, they are able to receive the gospel. So we are in verse 8 in Acts chapter 14. And the Bible says, while they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called him in a loud voice, "Stand up!" And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now, there's really a great message there. Paul and Barnabas are preaching the message. What are they preaching? They're preaching the power of the Christ, the power of resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that is for forgiveness of sin, the power that heals the sick. And there's this crippled man who has been crippled from birth, both feet. He's listening. And as this man starts to listen, something in him, there's a faith that is awakened in him. Because you see, whenever we preach the true word of God, what happens is that it stirs in us the most holy emotions, that men are converted to realize that what we are saying is real. This is the word of life. This is spirit and life. This is not just mere fables, that God can heal, that God heals, God rescues men from darkness, and it turns them to life. He turns around situations that look like impossible and turns the impossibilities to possibilities. Why? Because the Bible says there is nothing that is impossible with God. To those that believe, nothing is impossible. And he said, you can speak to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. We have a name that is above every other name. And this man was hearing the preaching that was in the name of Jesus. And as he was listening, as he was looking, there's something that started in him. There was a faith in him. And you remember, you see, a principle for healing is that we pump the word of God. You receive the word of God. You pour in the water into the vessels. When the vessels are filled with water, then you can pour out the cup. And when you take out the cup, then the miracle happens. It's turned into wine. So as the word was being poured into this man, the man's faith was rising. I tell you, when you're going to pray for the sick, first preach the word to them. Preach the word. Let them receive that word of God, that word of faith that they can hold on to, that it is God that heals. It is God that does miracles. It is God that can rescue them from that situation, that pitfall. And because the man had the word, he had the word, and he received the faith to be healed. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is as you stay by the word of God. Even right now, maybe you're unwell. Maybe there's a sickness that you're going through. There's a situation that is not changing. The Bible, what we are taught is sit by the word of God. Look for scriptures that speak on healing. Start to meditate on them. When the Bible says Jesus healed all their diseases, all includes all. That means to God, there is nothing like an incurable disease. Man could have told you it's incurable, but to God, there is nothing like an incurable disease. What you need to do is just to sit by the word. And I'm here to declare to you today that the Lord heals you. The Lord heals you. Receive that word. Receive that word that he heals. There is nothing to God that is impossible. And as you receive this word, receive your healing. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. As you hear the word of God, and the word of God is coming to you, it is just a word. Jesus just sent a word. The centurion just said, no, it's not enough for you to come to my house. Just speak the word, send the word, and my servant shall be healed. And when Jesus said, go, and today I'm saying, go. Go, you are healed. Receive your healing. Why? Because you are receiving the word. And as the crippled man receive the word, the Bible says that Paul saw that this man has faith to be healed and told the guy, stand up. My God, as you perceive, you know, there are things that you perceive spiritually. The way we receive spiritual things, you can watch a man and you just receive it. Why? Because you see it with the eyes of the Spirit. You perceive, you can see that faith, you can see how it is being done, and you know that you have it. Perception. There's a power in perception. The man had the word, and he received the faith, and his faith made him well. So it wasn't even the faith of Paul that healed this crippled man. It was the man's own faith. Can you believe it? You can sit by the word of God today. And as you listen to the word, you yourself receive the faith to be healed. And when you have received it, just stand up. Get up, put up your mat, and walk. If you're sick, just put on the audio Bible. Start listening to the word. Just get someone's on healing. Start listening. Listen to that word. That word that tells you that you have the glory of God. That Christ died for your sins. That he paid for the price for every sin and sickness. And as you sit by it, I tell you, the word of God comes alive. When it comes alive, when it takes root, by his stripes, we are healed. We were healed. When that word takes root, then it builds up faith, and that faith results in healing. And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Verse 11 of Acts 14, the Bible says, when the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, "These men are gods in human form." They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and Paul was Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Now the temple of Zeus was just located outside the town. So the priest of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard what was happening, they tore their clothing in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things, these idols, and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. In the past, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, but he had never left them without a witness, without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts." But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Now, there's something that I want you to see. They have just done a major miracle. But you see, for this city, they had believed, they had this Greek mythology. They had believed that the gods had once visited with them. That was Zeus and Hermes, Jupiter and Mercury. They believed that these gods had once visited them, and no one in the city showed them hospitality except an old couple. And because of that, the gods killed everyone in that city except that old couple. And so when they saw the miracle of Paul and Barnabas of healing this crippled man, immediately what came to their mind is they interpreted, "Oh my God, these are the gods that have visited us again. Zeus and Hermes have visited us again. So we must sacrifice to them." And you see, this is the danger. You see, when God starts to do mighty things in your life and through you, when you start exercising the dominion mandate, the dominion that God has called us to dominate, to rule and have dominion as sons of God, when you start manifesting as a son of God on the earth and creation starts to respond to you, it is very easy to find yourself that men start to desire to worship you. And if you've not yet grown in the maturity, if you've not yet grown in humility, then you will allow men to worship. And this is the danger of many men of God. They have allowed men, human beings, to worship them. So you find that men are being worshipped to the equivalent of God. Everything, it becomes papa. Everything, it becomes man of God. Everything, it becomes, "Oh, my, you know, my daddy." I know there's a place for honor. I don't refuse that. But if it gets to the place where it becomes human worship, where people see you as God, where things cannot move unless you are there, where there is no one else who can speak to them apart from you, then you are treading on dangerous ground. And Paul and Barnabas, despite the miracle, they tore their clothes themselves. They said, "No, we are men with like passions like you. We are men who have flesh and blood like you. We are not the gods." And yet, in as much as they tried it, the people still sacrificed the cows and the bulls for them. But you see, the Bible is, and human nature is very interesting. The same people who are worshiping them as gods, in a few days, were now stoning them. Be very careful if your satisfaction comes from human beings. If the affirmation of your ministry comes from the likes and the comments and the, you know, and the followers and, you know, and the shares that are on Facebook, and when crowds follow you, the same crowds are the same ones that can stone you when they are won over by someone else. That's why some people cry, oh, you see so much hatred. These were my church members. Oh, these were my people. I'm the one who brought them up. Now they're following others. Well, that is human nature. That is a sinful nature of man. The same man who are sacrificing to Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, if they were in their flesh, they could have been, yeah, yeah, now we are the gods. Let us be worshipped. Let us just give us all your money, all your food, everything that will just give us, build for us houses, buy for us private jets, and, you know, whatever, whatever. But the same people now turned on them and were stoning them. The same people who are liking and commenting and all are the same ones who will castigate you, be it on your wall, be it on the media. Why? Because men are men. They turn around when things, they're favorable when things are favorable. But then when things are different, they turn around. So Jesus, remember when Jesus, when he knew, when they wanted to make him king, because he gave them the bread, he said he could not commit himself to any man. Why? Because he knew the hearts of men. One day they were singing, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The next moment they were crying, crucify him, crucify him. We must learn as servants of God, as children of God, to find that we only serve God for the audience of one. It is only God who is our ultimate witness. He's only God who is our ultimate audience. He is the one that we must continually seek to please. If we run after the affirmations of men, men disappoint. Men will change. You know, those who we think we are honoring, our bosses, our supervisors, you know, our wives, our husbands, they change. One day, yes, they will say you are done. Well, the next moment they are saying crucify. It is only God whose mercy never leaves us. Maybe you're there, you've been disappointed by men. You thought men that you poured out your heart to, and they've disappointed. I want to assure you, you can turn to God. He is secure. He is the anchor that holds us fast. He is the one that never changes. The Bible says that even when we are faithless, he remains to be faithful because he cannot deny himself. God is the sure rock by which we can stand. When things are changing, when men change, when people turn on us, when the people that we've spent our hearts on, we've poured out our lives building into them, when they turn their backs on us, remember, there's a God. There's a God that we can turn to. There's a God who never changes. And that is why when men praise you, give the glory to God. When men turn on you, give the glory still back to God, and rejoice that you are counted worthy to share in the sufferings of Christ. And you see how God works. Can you imagine the time of stoning? When the Jews will stone someone, they will stone and pile rocks until they have to make sure you're dead. So they stoned the man and they thought he was dead. And they dragged him out of the town. Look, and imagine how many of us are ready to suffer for the gospel. Look at places like Nigeria, you know, where the Boko Haram and all these fundamentalists are killing people. Are you able to stand for the faith? He was dragged out of the town and they left him for the dead. But what does the Bible say? But the believers gathered around him. My God, my God, my God, there is power in prayer. The believer said, there is no way this man can go. We still need him. Yes, there was so much that Paul was yet to do. There's so much that he had to speak the word of God. And as they surrounded him, they gathered around him. The man got up. What is death? What is death? I say to death, a believer, we just sleep in the Lord. Until the Lord says it is your time to go, you will be here. No man, they tried to kill John the Revelator. They poured him in burning oil. It did not work. They tried to kill him with a sword. Everything they tried, the guy could not die. Until they had to send him to the island of Patmos, where they believed was the worst place. You will just die with animals and sicknesses. And the man who still stayed. You can see the same people who are saying these are the gods are the same people who stoned them. But God, in his mercy, rescued and restored Paul. And he's the same God who will rescue you. Preach with boldness, preach with courage, do the work of God. Verse 21 tells us in Acts 14, after preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. Remember, these are the same cities where they planted the churches. They were persecuted, they ran off. They planted, they persecuted, they ran off. They planted, they persecuted, they ran off. But they still go back. I love the courage of Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible says, verse 22, where they strengthened the believers, they encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. Telling them that, you know what? We will suffer many things. If we are to enter into the kingdom of God, we'll suffer many things. Tribulations are part of the journey. And Paul, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. And here, elders refers to the leaders, to the pastors. They appointed leaders. Remember, even when Peter describes, I write to you as a fellow elder among you, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, a fellow elder. He considered himself elders. So the church, you know, for the churches to be established, for the completion of it, they came and appointed elders. And this is a characteristic that we see among the ministry of Paul. He goes to a place, he preaches the word. Once he has found some believers, he spends his time imparting in them, building them, teaching them, making them disciples. And then when persecution came, he left. But then he still appoints elders. He appoints leaders. And these leaders now establish the church in every place. God desires that to establish a witness. There is no, he always leaves a witness. And you see, the Bible says, with prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they put their trust. They committed them to the grace of God. At times, that's all we do. When we appoint leaders, when we have established the work of God and God says it's time for you to leave, all you can do is commit them into the hands of God and release them into the grace of God. And the Bible says, and they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Then they traveled back through Pisidia to Pamphylia. They preached the word of God in Perga, went down to Attalia, and finally they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. And they stayed there with the believers for a long time. I love the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. They strengthened after they finished their mission. These were not just isolated people. They went back and gave a report. After God has sent you somewhere and you have done your work, go back, give a report, and see and show people, show what God has done, show what God has done, show what God has acted, show the effect of God, show. And you can see the humility. They said, reported everything God had done through them. The King James says, God had done with them. The humility, they recognize that all this has been the work of God. And then they stayed with the Gentiles, with the believers. And they said, see how God has opened the door of faith. Can you imagine how they are describing Christianity? It's a door of faith. It's a door by which we enter. We enter into the mercy of God. We enter into salvation. We enter into the kingdom of God. And God had opened the door of faith that the Gentiles can enter, can become, that means you and me, can become sons of God by entering through the door of faith. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you too have the chance today to enter into the door of faith. God sent his only son to die for you and me, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All it needs you to do is put your faith in Christ. And if you're there and you've never given your life to Jesus, just say, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins and you were raised up for my glory. Today, receive me as your child. Cleanse me of all my sins and make me a vessel worthy that you can use. And release the Holy Spirit, pour out the Holy Spirit in me, that I may be your child and serve you all the days of my life. And if you say that prayer, the Lord loves you. The Lord has accepted you. You are a child of God. Find a Bible-believing church where you can grow in the things of God. Read the Word of God daily. Hear the Word of God daily. Spend time in prayer. Attend a church. Attend a fellowship. Be with your brothers. Do not be alone. And when you do these things, you shall grow in the things of God. You shall be established in the things of God. And God shall keep you in all things. I pray that God will be with you. The Lord strengthen you. And just as a prayer, Father God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for them that have had the Word of God. The Lord, this word shall be established in them. You shall use it for your glory. You shall speak to them. They shall experience your grace and truth. They shall be taught by you. And the Lord, you shall sustain them. We commend them to the grace of God. And I thank you for those that have gone through discouragement because of the persecutions of men. Restore them, O God. Bring them back to life. And I speak the words of life today, that Lord, you are able to touch. I pray for healings to take place. I pray for answers, for breakthroughs, for jobs, for opportunities, for marriages, for children, oh God. May you answer your people, oh God, them that are trusting you for financial resources, oh God. I pray for the release. We pray all this, trusting and believing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom, shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day. Bye-bye.